I want you to imagine you're 7 years old and your mother gets cancer, the kind that can definitely kill her. Or you're 10 years old. Or how about it's your wife of 21 years? This is exactly what happened to the Johnson family, Peter and his two daughters, Delaney and Audrey. They had nowhere to go. They knew medicine was limited, but then God did what only God can do. I'm Miles McPherson, pastor of the Rock Church, and this is their story.
Well, when I first met Cindy, it was the classic case of love at first sight. She's a very beautiful, articulate, and funny woman. I pursued her vigorously, and there was a little bit of an age difference, so I made sure that I was a gentleman and courted her according to the Christian values. And we ended up courting for 2.5 years and got married on October 8th, 1988. We got to go on a lot of trips and spent a lot of time together. We went dancing all the time. And through it all, Cindy's sense of humor was really what made everything click.
We're now in week 5 of a 6-week series called Do Something, based on my new book, Do Something. And we've been studying the fact that God has given us a very clear plan to do something great with our life. And the plan consists of the 5 P's, 5 words that start with the letter P. The first word is preparation, that God has prepared us with everything we need to do something great with our life. The second P is purpose. Everything we do has a very simple purpose, and that purpose is to obey God, do what He says.
We didn't have children for 10 years, so it gave us a lot of time to spend together. I came home from work and she had a gift on the table for me for dinner. So as I unwrapped the gift, it was a pregnancy test, a positive pregnancy test. And that was one of the most joyous moments of my life. And we just really had fun through her pregnancy. And when Delaney was born, one of the highlights of my life and ours together. When Audrey was in Cindy's stomach, Delaney took an incredible interest in always putting her hand on her mother's tummy as it grew. I think it created a bond with them because they were super close. Cindy turned into just the most incredible devoted mother anyone could ask, and devoted wife.
My mom would sometimes surf and boogie board with me, which was really fun. She took me lots of places, SeaWorld and the zoo. She was pretty. She made us dinner. That really brought lots of light into her heart.
Third P is pain. And we saw last week that pain doesn't only have to hurt, that God can use it for good in our life. Sometimes He could actually take pain and convert it to the fourth P, which is power. Power is our ability to do something. And the fifth P is passion. Passion is our commitment to never quit, that no matter how hard things get, no matter how frustrating things get, we continue to be obedient and do what God calls to do. Today, we're gonna talk about the fourth P, power. Our ability, the authority, and opportunity to do something. We're actually going to a place where you're gonna see God doing something great, powerful, supernatural in a family.
She discovered a little lump in her neck and she expressed concern to me. We were at the doctor's within 3 or 4 days. Because of the location, they knew it was something serious, so we were in the hospital in the lab within an hour. And within about a week to 10 days later, we had a dire diagnosis of stage 4 significant cancer of the colon, and we knew our journey just began.
We were shocked, completely shocked. She was vibrant, healthy, thin, did all the right things.
I had been married for 21 years, 20 years at the time. And I was with a woman that I planned on being with and growing old together for the rest of my life. And you know, having children, grandchildren come and hang out with us.
So we were just blindsided with fear. She was very scared. I was very scared.
And I was very afraid to tell my kids. I didn't know how to tell my kids. And neither did Cindy. We did not know the best approach, so we didn't tell him for a little while.
When I found out about when she was sick, I was really scared and I didn't know what would happen. I really thought that things weren't gonna be that well. It was very frightening and confusing on that day.
Point number one is that power is defined as our authority, our ability, and opportunity to do something. Many people might look at power as influence or strength. But what happens if your strength and influence can't do anything? If your strength can't lift anything or your influence can't move anything, then it ceases to be power. So the million-dollar question is, where do you go and what do you do when your power is powerless?
We took every avenue that you get, led by prayer, led by healing circles with modern medicine, chemo, with cancer-fighting foods, with de-stressing the environment, you know, letting her have more time to herself and not so much taking care of everyone else, including the kids, and really concentrate on healing, and she made remarkable progress.
Let me put the Johnson family story in a biblical context. In Mark chapter 5, there's a story about a woman who has an issue of blood, and usually a woman's issue of blood would last 5 days or so, but I really wouldn't know. And when they had the issue of blood, they would have to go outside of town for a week or so until it stopped bleeding. And during that time, they couldn't, you know, touch anything. It would be religiously unclean. They couldn't go to, you know, the synagogue. And so they were religiously unclean and had to stay away from the general public. Well, this woman's issue of blood lasted 12 years. Girl! And she had nowhere to go. The Bible says she spent all she had and the doctors couldn't help her. And matter of fact, she grew worse. And when you had an illness, a lot of times they would associate your illness with some sin in your life. So she knows she was just really getting talked about really bad, and she was getting sick, she was getting weak. And for 12 years she suffered. No one could help her. Then she came in touch with the power of God.
If you have someone with cancer and they've come on board, it's typically a cancer patient has been through a long period, typically long or short, period of chemotherapy. And so their health is in a state at that time that where their body is probably the most ravaged.
The power of God is incredible. And all of us underestimate it at times.
She had a lot of faith and trust in God. And she said a prayer every night.
She sought out, how do I say this? A deeper meaning to look further than just being scared and being enveloped with this fear. So she sought out prayer, and she would have me pray over her a lot, and trust me, that's not something that came easy. But I learned to do that with her encouragement. She was constantly seeking out prayer and constantly reading the Bible and finding Bible passages that were very significant, not just to her situation, but to life in general.
Mark 25 and 26 says there was a certain woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians, but instead of getting better, she grew worse.
We're trained to give medicines. We're trained that this is what's going to do the next thing, the surgery, the next best thing that's going to be for this person, forgetting that they're is that person that has their own fears and spiritual, you know, connections that they need at that time. So that's, I think, many times where the exasperation comes in, is I think that we recognize there is an end point to what medications can do and so
on. But it got worse. Procedures were horrendous, painful, hard on all of us, hard to watch, hard on her. And they didn't seem to help.
Yeah, the hospital was a very sad place, but it was really good to see my mom's face.
The reason that the woman in Mark chapter 5 was getting worse is because the people treating her only had natural power. See, there's two kinds of power. There's natural power, and then there's spiritual power. And that leads us to point number two. Point number two tells us that spiritual power is superior to natural power. Now let's talk about natural power. We all have some form of it, whether it be our money, whether it be our muscles, whether it be our friends and contacts and relationships. We all have some kind of natural power, the ability to move stuff and do stuff in the natural world. But natural power is very limited. There are things that natural power cannot do. But then there's spiritual power. This is God's authority, ability, and opportunity to do something, and there's nothing God can't do. Spiritual power is rock your world power. Power with hot sauce, raise the dead power. That's the kind of power we're talking about.
Cindy came home from a healing prayer session with great joy.
She had my friend and her husband come down from LA, and we all went in her living room and we were trying to pray over her, and we all laid hands on her. And it was, very casual sort of at first, and then it just got really intense in the room. It felt like somebody turned on the heat.
And she expressed to me that in her hands-on healing, she had a vision of a tunnel. And in that tunnel, it was pink and squishy, and at the very end of it, there were dark, splotchy things. She said as she was in prayer, deep in prayer with all hands on her, she could feel the Holy Spirit swirling. And she said a white light all of a sudden built up and went right onto the black area, and it was gone.
They track colon cancer by your CEA levels, and her CEA levels kept going down, and in March her levels were completely normal.
We had experienced a miracle, and the incredible joy of that through all the hard work and prayer and fellowship and eating the right food and doing all the stuff the doctors told her to do, God touched us. Only God could heal somebody that has stage 4 cancer. We were one of the few that got to experience that miracle. And everything kind of flowed for about a month, but some signs started coming back that things weren't right. And that was very confusing, especially as a Christian man, as a husband who wants to protect his wife and kids. She was in intensive care, and not just for 3 days, not for 5 days, but 5 weeks. And sometimes we'd be able to take her home for maybe a day and a half, and she'd end up back in. And I'll never forget the time when she texted me and said, "The cancer's in my lungs." And I knew then I was driving to the hospital for my daily visit. And I wailed. I knew that maybe she wasn't gonna get out of it this time. How cruel. Or maybe God had a different plan and that we didn't understand yet. And we finally got the final diagnosis Thursday. They came in and said, "Get your affairs in order. There's nothing more we can do for you." And I just about fell onto my knees right then. And Cindy was brave, as brave as anybody I've ever seen. Yet I still had hope.
She texted me and said, "They're talking hospice." And I thought there was a mistake. I thought maybe she needed her glasses and she texted me wrong. And then I went to the hospital, and sure enough, they're talking hospice, and then they made arrangements very quickly, and they came and got her and rode with her in the ambulance, and it's a beautiful place. It's really nice.
There were lots of beep beep sounds, and I also remember how it was really quiet, and I wasn't really used to such a quiet, weird-smelling environment.
And we prayed and prayed and prayed that night. And she seemed to have a lot of peace. So I was at the 8 o'clock Sunday service the week that Cindy was in, just went into hospice Saturday. And they happened to have a cancer support booth right out in front as we left, and I went to the person there. And I asked, I said, you know, Cindy really loves Miles, and is there any way that he could come visit her? Because I don't think she has much time. And I never expected someone as busy as Miles with the responsibilities that he has to be able to come himself. We don't really have a personal relationship or know him, but we feel like we do as, you know, long-term members of the Rock Church. From that moment on, the church, the staff, picked us up. It was unbelievable, the support that we got. And sure enough, that Tuesday, Miles came to visit Cindy, to her great joy.
Whenever I go to hospice, like right now, I always have to prepare myself a little extra, because hospice is a place where death is imminent. Basically, people go there when they have 6 months or less to live. And it's a place of sadness, a lot of loss of hope, because death is imminent. Medicine has taken its course and it hasn't worked. And so the families and the people all know it's coming. And so you go there to comfort them. Hospice literally means comfort care. And so hospice is designed to comfort the family and the patient, preparing them for death. And so I go there a little extra prayer. I don't know what I'm going to see all the time, because people are so close to death. They look like, you know, they never looked before. People are carrying a burden they never carried before. They've been caring for this person for a long time at times. And so it's a very heavy place, but it's a place where God needs to be. It's a place where ministers and people of God need to be. But in this case, I'm excited, because God is doing something powerful in this family's life.
Hospice is a service that's provided for persons that have received a diagnosis of 6 months or less of life, considering their disease process should continue as it is at that time. So hospice is care that's administered, and it's to take care of their symptoms and their emotional status, their spiritual status also. So it's a combination of a team of persons that will go out and care for the person wherever they reside.
We left a story in the book of Mark with the woman who was bleeding. She had spent all the money she had. She had gone to every doctor. Not only was she out of money, she was out of hope. She wasn't getting any better. She was getting worse. And then in Mark chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, the Bible said that when she heard about Jesus, she walked up behind him in the crowd and touched the edge of his garment. For she said in her heart, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And then in verse 29, it says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. Boom! And she knew she was healed of her affliction. And Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" He felt the power go out of his body. Keep in mind, Jesus is not a practicing physician. He's the great physician. There's nothing he can't do. No matter what your affliction or your burden or your problem, he has all the power you need. Several days after I visited Cindy, she passed away. She was in hospice only for 6 days.
Well, I felt really scared, and
Andrew, how are you doing?
I found out that she was dead at a hospice, and I was not very happy.
The sadness I felt when she passed was overwhelming. I gut-wrenching, yet I still had to make sure that those kids, those girls, had stability and a rock, you know, to look up to. And that was very, very difficult. I had many, many, many times of sheer emotion by myself when I could find time, and I still do to this day. I miss her a lot.
She was very happy to go, experience that kind of joy and not be in pain anymore. And frankly, I was a little jealous that she was gonna experience that kind of joy. But we'll get that one day.
Right after the power went out of Jesus and healed the woman, he asked his disciples who touched him. And the Bible says in Mark 5:31, you see the multitude thronging you, and you ask, who touched me? He looked around to see who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. This leads to the third thing we need to learn about power. Spiritual power is received from God when we surrender ourselves to him. Remember, there's two kinds of power. There's natural power and spiritual power. Natural power we can take from man. Whenever we pull man down, it's our form of taking power from them. When we gossip, when we manipulate, talk behind people's back, stab them in the back. But spiritual power cannot be taken from God. It can only be received from God when we surrender ourselves to him. And this is the miracle that the Johnsons learned through the death of their mom and wife. They learned to surrender their pain and all their grief to God. And through that surrender, they received power to even overcome the death of their wife and mom. Even Cindy learned this lesson. Right before she died, I remember visiting her and holding her hand and how strong her hand was and how much peace was in her face and in her eyes and how much joy and anticipation she had that God had not left her alone. He gave her hope beyond the grave. She even asked me to pray that God would take her. She wasn't scared anymore. She had an anticipation that something better was waiting for her. She had surrendered herself to God and received his power to even overcome death in her life.
I was with her one morning and she woke up and she said, I'm still here. She was looking forward to going and experiencing complete joy and not feeling any more pain. And she knew beyond a doubt that it was going to be like that.
I'm much more focused on asking God for direction and guidance. It has become apparent through prayer, through the signs that he's given me, how important it is to take care of my girls and how important it is to maintain and strengthen my relationship with God.
Her dying has really rocked my world, but it has strengthened my faith. I couldn't get through my grief without knowing that there is God and knowing that he's here right beside us.
I was a typical guy. I took care of my family and I had my own business and I was very responsible with that. But I like to surf and I like to go on trips with my friends and, you know, go to football games and Padre games and do things a lot for me. And the difference is a lot of that stuff's superfluous now. And the things that I do now are based off of the clarity I have on my responsibilities to my family first, you know, my church, my relationship with God.
Often when we're praying for God to do something through us, to heal somebody else, to bless somebody else, we miss what he's trying to do in us. Before God can do something powerfully through us, he has to do something powerfully in us. And as you were all expecting Cindy to live and God to heal her, he did heal her. She is completely healed in heaven, but it wasn't the healing you were expecting. And what the most powerful healing was going on was in the life of her husband and the two daughters. And that power is growing and growing every day. And as you pray for something powerfully to happen through you, don't miss what God is trying to do powerfully in you, because it has to happen in you first for it to happen through you next. Once Peter, Delaney, and Audrey surrendered their pain to God, he comforted them with his power. Once they surrendered their hopelessness to God, he empowered them with his hope. Just like the woman who surrendered her faith to Jesus and was healed of her affliction, they were healed with the sting of death. The sting of death had no power in their life anymore. And even though this is a process they're still going through, they are becoming stronger and stronger every day. Paul said, when I am weak, that's when I become strong. When we surrender ourselves to God is when we receive his power. Power we cannot take from him, power we cannot get from anywhere else. This leads to the fourth thing we need to learn about spiritual power, that spiritual power comes from the Holy Spirit and for a very specific purpose in our life. Just as the Holy Spirit is empowering these little girls to encourage you amidst the death of their mom, and to empower Peter to encourage you after his wife of 21 years passed away, that same Holy Spirit can empower you to do something powerful in someone else's life. But first, you must allow him to empower you and change you and shape you, that you may be then used, that his power can be flowed through you to help somebody else. First, you have to surrender, and then you have to know it's going to be given to you. That power is going to be given to you for a very specific purpose.
My relationship with God through this has strengthened incredibly. The focus, the clarity I have is incredible. How much more I understand that I need to be speaking with him through prayer, through actions, through his wisdom, instead of me thinking my wisdom is going to work. You know, when you lose or go through something like this and lose someone so dear to you, it became very apparent how much I needed God, how much I needed Jesus Christ, not only to help pick me up, but also to give me clarity for the future so my children are healthy in every way. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the experience. I love the Lord more than I ever have. Yet I'm still confused, but I do understand that, you know, the plan is sometimes we don't understand. And it was obvious that Cindy had done her job here and God needed her in heaven, and I'm okay with that.
Remember, praying is an act of surrender. Obeying God is an act of surrender. Loving your enemy is an act of surrender. But all these acts of surrendering put you in a position to receive the power of God, that the power of God may change you. And once the power of God does something in you, the power of God can do something through you. It may be a day for surrender for you. It may be a day that you let go and stop fighting God and stop trying to force God to do what you want versus surrendering yourself to him and letting him do what he wants to do in you. So right now I'm going to ask you to pray. Bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me. You know you've been fighting God. You've been trying to control God. You've been trying to take power from God. But unfortunately, spiritual power cannot be taken. It must be received when we surrender. So right now, if you want to receive God's power, the power to forgive you of your sin, the power to encourage you. Some of you are going through hard times and you're trying to do this all by yourself. But you want to give it up. You want to cast all your cares on the Lord because you know he cares for you. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, pray this prayer with me, a prayer of surrender, a prayer of humility. Pray, dear God, I know you love me, and I know you know who I am. I know that you have all the power available. You have the ability to do anything you want. And I know I don't have all the power in the world. I know I'm limited. I believe that Jesus, your son, died and he rose from the dead, which is a demonstration of your power even over life and death. So God, please forgive me for trying to control my life. Please forgive me for trying to take power from you and dictate to you how your power needs to operate in my life. I surrender all control of my life to you, and I receive from you your life-changing resurrection power. Forgive me of my sin. Renew my mind. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to know right now that God has forgiven you and God has an incredible plan for you. And as your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed there at Rock Church, I'm going to ask you to stand up to your feet if you prayed that prayer. We're going to wait. If you pray that prayer and you're surrendering, that means you don't care what anybody thinks except God. So stand to your feet. And by standing, you are acknowledging that you are giving your life to Jesus Christ.